reading for you from the 15th chapter of Matthew, the 13th verse. But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto them, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Ye are also yet without understanding. Do not yet ye understand that whatsoever entereth in the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out in the drought. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defile not a man. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. I gave my heart to Christ over 45 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. And I've been sharing Christ ever since. Well, friends, I thought I was through with my treatments down at the Springs, but my doctor told me today that I have, well, that was this week, that I have to go 3 more days next week. They're going to do some more tests on diabetes, and then I got to go to the heart specialist again. Oh, I tell you, friends, I hate to admit it, but I'm getting a little tired. Whew, man, keep praying for me, will you? I want to get well and get out here and get busy. Well, we'll be down the 14th, the 17th, down at the prison in Canyon. I'll be with you for an hour tonight. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a cup of coffee or tea, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, would you unite your heart with me in prayer at this time? Gracious Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, I thank you for all these treatments I've been taking down in the Springs, and I pray, Lord, that they're getting me well again so I can get back to working full-time again. And I thank you, Lord, for the nice, nice letter I got from the prison down in the Canyon. The men signing their names and telling me they were praying for me. Lord, that's happened. 3 or 4 prisons have done that for me. It touches my heart. I love those men and women. They need a touch from heaven. Lord, be with Bill and Marie down in Mexico, and I pray that they'll be back soon and you'll lay a healing hand upon her. And Lord, you know the spiritual and physical and financial needs of all of our listening family. Be with them tonight. Honor your word. Lift up Jesus. Hide me behind the cross. And Lord, save that man, that woman, that boy, that girl that's on the road to hell tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Jonah. That's in the Old Testament in the 3rd chapter. Let's begin reading with the first verse. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A city required 3 days. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, took off his royal robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles. Do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows, God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce angers, so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how he turned, and they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion. It did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. Tonight I'd like to say a few words about revival. I suppose there's been more sermons preached about revival than any other subject. Why? Because there's so much subject matter to draw from. As an evangelist, this is one of the most important messages I could bring to my listeners tonight. I've had the privilege of preaching revivals all over America, Alaska, Japan, and the Caribbean. I had a radio broadcast there for a couple of years. Many dear pastors believe they can be as effective in preaching revival as evangelists, but that's not true, according to the Bible. I cannot do the work of a pastor effectively, even though I did pastor for 5.5 years. I was not a called pastor. I would be the first to tell you a pastor has 3 times harder job than I do. That is, if they are a real God-called pastor. My head spins when I think of the responsibilities of a God-called pastor. They can go for weeks and no one is saved in their churches. When we go to prison and rescue mission, there's always someone accepting Christ after the invitation is given. Noah preached for over 100 years and only his family was saved. No converts. That would have killed me. Yet Noah was a special man for a special job. And friends, if you're a Christian, you are a special person. And God has a special job for you before you die. Many, many years when I was attending Bible College in Riverside, California, one of the members of our church said, "Cecil, there's a little old lady over there in the hospital and she's dying. And it's pathetic because every day she prays to die. Would you go see her?" Well, she was a member of a Nazarene church. A dear little old lady, Mrs. Fisher was her name. And I went in there and she was praying, "Lord, let me die. Take me home. Take me home." And I said, "Ma'am," and she could, almost blind, but she could make out images. I said, "That's the most selfish prayer I've ever heard in my life." She said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm Cecil Moe." And I said, "I'm very disgusted to hear a person of your caliber praying that God will take you home. You know, he knows more about you than you do, and your job on this earth is not finished. And when your job on earth is finished, he will take you home." She said, "Well, what am I supposed to do?" I said, "That's between you and the Lord." So I'd visit her 2 or 3 times a week, and we become very dear friends. I remember one night going over there to visit with her, and she said, "Cecil," she said, "that little black lady over there at the end of the room," she said, don't talk to me tonight. Go and pray with her." I said, "What's so special about it?" And she said, "Well, she's going to go home tonight." And I said, "Oh, yes." Yeah. She said, "She's going to die tonight." And she told me she wasn't. "So would you go talk to her?" So I went over, and this little black lady was laying there with a smile on her face. And she said, "You know, I'm going home tonight." "Oh," I said, "are you sure?" "Oh, yes." She said, "I'm sure." She said, "You know, my husband pastored a large church for many years, and God took him home, and you know, I miss him so much." And so she said, "The Lord informed me that tonight I was going to go home." So we had a word of prayer together, and sure enough, that dear lady went home. Well, one night I went to see Miss Fisher, and she was gone. Her bed was empty, and I thought, uh-oh, she's passed on. And one nurse says, "Are you looking for Mrs. Fisher?" I said, "Yes." "Well, she's upstairs in the get well ward." I said, "Get well ward?" Went up there and I stood in the doorway, and she said, "Oh, Brother Moe, come on in." Well, I thought, how in the world could she see me? She can't see. She's blind. So all she could see is a vision, you know, an outline. And she said, "Come here, Brother Moe. I've got to tell you something. I've just got to tell you something." I said, "Okay, what is it?" She said, "You know, night before last, there was a gentleman came in to see his wife, who was in the bed at the foot of mine. And she said, while he was talking to her, the Lord spoke to my heart in no uncertain words. And so she said, I called him over to my bed, and she said, 'Sir, when you die, are you going to heaven? Do you know Jesus?' And the old man shook his head, 'No, he didn't know Jesus.' So Mrs. Fisher witnessed to the old gentleman, and he went home. The next night he came up and took Mrs. Fisher by the hand, and he said, 'Mrs. Fisher, I did what you said.
And I did go home and I got down on my knees and I invited Christ into my heart. Thank you so much for telling me about Jesus. Shortly after that, the Lord took Mrs. Fisher home. She had a job to do. And when the job was done, God took her home. We had another prayer warrior on this broadcast, Mary Maritsky. She said, "Cecil, my only regret is that I never personally led his soul to Christ." Well, that wasn't exactly right. I don't have any idea how many people that I introduced to Christ that Mary Maritsky was responsible for. Her son, her nephew, her granddaughter, her son-in-law. And she prayed for them and prayed for them. Then she'd call me and I'd go out and introduce them to Christ. Mary was a prayer warrior personified. She would sometimes pray all night. Oh, what a special saint of God. Preaching her funeral was a joy because her and I had so many sheaved to lay at the Master's feet. Billy Sunday, D.L. Moody, Billy Graham traveled the world over praying for revival to come to America. There was millions and millions of people saved because of those three evangelists. I received a letter recently from Billy Graham's headquarters in Minnesota and said if I'd like to come to Amsterdam, Holland for their last meeting that Billy will have with all the itinerant evangelists in the world, that they would send me $800 toward a ticket to attend. I was going to a meeting there several years ago and my health would not let me attend, so I sent money to help many of the many poor evangelists from Africa who do not even have a pair of shoes to wear. These evangelists are a very special people. Back in the 60s, I was called to preach a revival in Hamilton, Washington, in a church filled with people from North Carolina. They call them Tar Heels. When I got to the church, there was going to be 1 week meeting. A little old lady in her 70s came up to me and said, "Brother Mo, did God send you here to preach this revival?" I said, "Yes, he did." She said, "Good." I said, "Why did you say good?" She said, "I have been praying for a revival in this town and in this church for over 15 years and we've not had one." I said, "Sister, you just keep on praying and we'll see what God's going to do." The first day of the revival, her granddaughter was saved. Granny started shouting. I'd never seen anyone shout in a meeting. The place would be packed every night, over 400 people a night. No, they never advertised. It was by word of mouth. This pastor's wife was Granny Queen's daughter. And one night I preached on John 3:16, and I could see that Mrs. Smith was kind of upset. The next morning I went to the pastor's house to go visiting with him, and his wife greeted me at the door, and she said, "Brother Mo, I was gloriously saved last night." After coming home from the meeting, I said, "I need to get saved." I said, "What?" She said, "Well, you know, I have been carried to church ever since I was a baby. My mom would read the Bible to me and pray for me, but I just never thought that I was a sinner bad enough to go to hell. Last night I realized that I too was a sinner, and I got down on my knees and gave my heart to Jesus. I said, tonight I want you to stand up before the church and give your personal testimony." She did, and I thought that people would faint. They voted to go for another week of revival. 50 people were saved in that little old revival. And you see, she was also the daughter of Granny Queen. Granny Queen did see a revival, and shortly after that, Granny Queen went home to be with the Lord. 5 years ago, my wife and I were showing my film Against All Hope in a town where she now lives. Her husband died several years before. As we walked into the church, this little gray-headed lady walked up to me and said, "Do you remember me, Brother Mo?" I said, "You really look familiar." She said, "I'm Sister Smith, the one that was saved in your revival in Hamilton, Washington. That was over 30 years ago." She still had that smile on her face. Several times I've gone back to churches where I had preached a revival and had people come up to me and said, "I was saved in one of your revival. It's a joy unspeakable." See, Nineveh was a town of over 600,000 people. It was a great city in wealth and size. It was 60 miles in circumference, protected by 5 walls and 3 canals. The walls were 100 feet high and wide enough for 3 chariots to race abreast. But it was a city of great wickedness, a city without knowledge of the true God, a city of idolatry, indifference, a city of iniquity. Their wickedness had reached the throne of God. As Sodom and its cry of sin came before God. Friends, nothing can hide from God. God sees all and knows all. Now, God had picked Jonah to go and preach revival in that wicked city. And I suppose there are many men that God could have chosen for the job, but Jonah was his man. God wants us to love the souls of men like he does. That is why I love to preach in prison. There are lost souls headed toward hell, and we must warn them. God has a great concern for Nineveh. God told Jonah to go to the city that was engulfed in spiritual darkness. Jonah was unconcerned. He did not love them, so he ran away. Friends, are you trying to run away from your responsibilities of witnessing to loved ones and friends? God does not want anyone to perish, and that is why Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. A few years ago, a Texas school building exploded, and over 400 children was killed. The FBI came to investigate. They interviewed a woman whose husband told her that there was a faulty gas line under the building. They said, did you report it? She said, no. He said, then your husband is a criminal, a destroyer of men. When we know that men are lost and we do not warn them, we are a destroyer of souls. However, if we warn them, their blood is not on our hands. That's a serious thing to have on you. They cry for repentance. In this chapter, we find a threefold repentance. We'd be surprised at the professing Christians who do not know what repentance really means. Repentance is not conviction. Our churches are filled with convicted people. Repentance is not being sorry. Our prisons and jails are full of people who are sorry. Repentance is a change of mind which leads to a change of our actions. We change our minds, but about ourselves, sin, Satan, and the Savior. Now, when Jonah got right in the belly of the fish, believe me, 3 days in a stinking belly of a fish would make anyone turn back to God with those seaweed hanging around your neck. Friends, believe me, Jonah experienced revival in those 3 days. How can we as individuals experience revival? Go through being dissatisfied with ourselves, do a thorough job of repenting, make restitutions whenever possible, and begin to witness. How do we know Jonah experienced revival? Well, after the fish vomited him up, he headed straight for Nineveh, the town that he was running from, trying to get away from Nineveh, going the other way. But God had his hand on Jonah, and you know, when God puts his hand on you, you better listen. See, Jonah preached God's message, not man-made, but God's message. He had a twofold message, a message of judgment. We need to preach the message of judgment today. Jonah did not like the Ninevites, and they did not fall in love with him. Jonah's message was what they needed. One morning at 7 a.m., my cousin came to my brother's house where I spent the night and said, Cecil, your mother died last night. This was an unwelcome message, but my cousin was not responsible for it. He simply delivered a message. This is the job of every preacher. There are two ways to react to a message. Reject it, hold the messenger responsible for it, or receive it. Do you recall the message of mercy delivered in Noah? Before the flood, God gave the people 120 years to receive the message and repent, but they did not. Sodom and Gomorrah had a chance. Nineveh had one preacher, one sermon, and one warning. Let me ask you, how many opportunities is God going to give you even before you receive his final message to your heart? Nineveh repented, and they believed God. People need to be restored to an old-fashioned fear of God. We live in an age of indifference, unconcern, and unbelief. People simply will not believe God. In Proverbs 23:31, do not gaze at wine when it is red, yet people still drink. God says, do not commit adultery. Yet there many church members are guilty of morality. I read in 1 Corinthians 3:17, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. Millions of church members can't go through a two-hour worship without taking time to burn incense to a nicotine god. I know, because I was guilty of that one time myself. Tobacco kills, believe me. People rob from God daily. Do you believe that God's judgment day is coming? The Ninevites humbled themselves. Talk about Pentecost. Peter preached and 3,000 cried, what must I do to be saved? Jonah preached and the whole city put on sackcloth and fell on their faces. When you see yourself as God sees you, you will humble yourself. They cried unto the Lord. God says, let call unto me and I will answer thee. They turned from their sins. No prayer is earnest as long as sin is being practiced. I read in Psalm 66:18, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God was surely listening and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be unto God who hath not rejected my prayer. Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them. The Bible tells us God repented. The Ninevites found mercy. God does repent. God extended his grace to them. He did not destroy them. God's mercy is extended to all people tonight. If one continues his sin, he must receive judgment. You know, friends, in a church where I used to pastor, in a city where I used to pastor, there was an elderly couple who were saved late in life. They had 6 grown married children. The church was having a revival. And the pastor asked this elderly gentleman to lead in prayer. The old man said, Lord, whatever it takes to save my children, thy will be done. Sunday morning he was bent over to tie his shoes, and he dropped dead. All 5 of his grown children were saved during the revival. Listen, can you believe God? If we're serious about revival, God will send revival. But revival has to start in your heart and in mine. Hey, listen. I know you say, oh, Cecil, you're getting so old-fashioned. But revivals used to be revivals. People would come to revival and they would get right with God. They'd come back to their first love. They'd repent of their sins. People who were robbing from God would start giving. People who were not right with their fellow man got right with their fellow man. I remember I was preaching. This wasn't a revival, but I was preaching in the church that I joined after I was saved. And this is when I was come back from Bible college and my home church, Brother Tom was pastor. I remember going out to see an old alcoholic friend of mine, used to be a cabbie and a bootlegger. And his wife received Christ about a year before, and he threw her out. He said he didn't want no part of her, so he threw her out. And so I invited him to come to church. I told him I was going to be preaching. He said, well, I've never heard you preach, so I'll come. And in the meantime, his wife belonged to this church, and he didn't know it, of course. And I got up to preach, and I preached my heart out. I remember looking out there and seeing this old alcoholic. My heart just went out to him. His wife was sitting on the other side in the back of the church. During the invitation, I turned the invitation over to Brother Tom. And I walked back and I took Peterson by the hand. I said, Pete, listen to me. Listen to me. You've been running from God all these years. You know, today is a day that you need to trust him. Would you like to do that? And old Pete said, yes, I would. And we bowed our heads and Peterson prayed to receive Christ. And I told him, I said, now you need to go down and tell the preacher what you did. He started down the aisle and his wife saw him. And she run down and met him at the front and they embraced. Oh, listen, that will bring revival. That'll bring revival. 2 brothers belonged to a church for years, but they hated each other, never spoke to each other. One time during revival, God got a hold of their hearts. They went to the altar and made things right. Revival broke out in that church like they had never experienced.
Let me ask you, friends, is your heart right with God tonight? Are you living in a state of revival? Are you where God wants you to be? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Lost person, it is either repent or be rejected. It is either believe or be damned. Jesus is concerned about you. He has done all he can do for you. The next move is up to you. You've heard the message of this warning. Will you as a Ninevite repent of your sins? Oh, friends, listen. Listen to me. We don't know how many more days the Lord is going to be before he returns. Could be years. We don't know. But I know this. If you don't know Jesus when he comes back and to rapture his church, you will be cast into outer darkness. Oh, it's a sad thought. See, God doesn't send you to hell. You send yourself by rejecting Christ, his beloved son. He says, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden. Are you heavy laden tonight? Is your heart hurt because of the way you've treated God? Why don't you come back? Why don't you come back and say, oh God, I realized I'd like David, I've committed so many sin, and I've been ashamed to come back. But tonight, Lord, I want you to forgive me and restore the joy of my salvation that I might serve you until you take me home. Lost person, if you don't know Jesus, would you like to know him tonight? Has the Holy Spirit drawn your heart so you know that you're a sinner? All right, if you have, here's a simple prayer. Dear Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, come into my heart and save me. And Lord, I pray that you'll help me to grow in grace and find a church where I might attend and grow. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. That's 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. Friends, if I can help you spiritually, please do call. Don't miss heaven.